A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Have you ever wanted to get rid of a body without anyone asking too many questions? Join Trunk Club. Every month, Trunk Club will drive a 1996 Hyundai XL to your door with the keys in the trunk. All you gotta do is put the body in the trunk, lock it up, and we'll pick it up the very next day. Body disappeared. Go to trunkclub.com and enter the offer code RATIONAL to get your first 3 months of body disappearing free. We'll even throw in a free pair of concrete shoes. They're real comfortable like. Trunk Club. Forget about it. Don't forget about it.
Just forget to unplug yourself.
Hi everyone, welcome to Irrational Fear, I think number 23. It's exciting, you're fearmongers today. James Colley, he's the Penrith boy done good.
Yay!
Chris Taylor, he's just like Salim Maher, but brings his own podium wherever he goes.
Yeah, it's very good to be here.
And fresh from his New Zealand holiday, where he and Chris Lilly both auditioned and missed out for the lead role in Moana, the new Disney film.
I made such a good princess.
Lewis Hobber.
Hello.
How was your New Zealand holiday?
Oh, it was paradise. Have you been there?
It's my favourite country.
Yeah.
I'm not just like, don't tell anyone about it. Because the minute Australians realise how beautiful New Zealand is, it'll be ruined.
Yeah, it reminds me of a time when Australia didn't think it was important.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. Like, you talk to New Zealanders, because I was in the South Island, which is really just
a stunning giant farm.
And you talk to them about like Australia, and they talk about it like it's the city.
Yes.
Like they're like, oh, I've been to Australia. The traffic's a bit wild. I'm like, I don't know if you've been to Darwin.
But I imagine, like, when I go to New Zealand, I kind of imagine it. That was what Australia was 30 years ago. Like, that was peak white Australia policy. Like, it feels very safe for someone of my skin.
I did get one pretty racist comment, actually. I went with my girlfriend to a winery, and this woman was very...
They only serve white wine.
Yeah. She was very lovely, and she actually gave us quite a few discounts on the stuff that we bought. And then on the way out, she was just like, "Watch out for Asians!" And we just looked at it, and we just realized that we'd got a white person's discount, and we were just looking our wine just had a taste of shame about it after that, because like, we just didn't get that because you don't like Asians.
I had a similar experience actually when I was there, and I should just say, yes, there are elements of racism in New Zealand.
That's why we love it so much.
But they're also one of the most progressive countries when it comes to like female representation. Like, they were the first to have a female prime minister, female governor general, female attorney general. All of, they're actually quite forward thinking in a lot of it. However, I went to, I think it was called Kaikoura on the South Island again. It was a B&B, and I'd been doing a sort of road trip with a couple of mates, and we'd pre-bought a whole lot of presents to give to all our hosts and the B&B hosts on the road trip. And at this one particular B&B, the family invited us to have dinner with them, which was irregular. Normally, we just dump our bags, go out to dinner, then come back and crash. But they said, no, we really insist you stay and have dinner with us. So we sat down, and entree was served, and then the host, the male host...
The picture behind them, the eyes kept moving to watch you wherever you went.
The male host just literally, as soon as the food hit the table, he goes, well, look, I just want to apologise for all the Maoris.
Wow! And
that was his... Oh, instead of saying grace, that's what he said. I just want to apologise on behalf of New Zealand for all the Maori.
And you're like, what do they... Was there...
What are you talking about? He goes, all the bloody signs have had to be changed. You see, like, Maori equivalents of all the place names now. They're everywhere. They're taking our jobs.
You had to learn things.
And it was the most awkward dinner of our lives. And it was that kind of thing. You know when you're in the presence of racists who have been a host to you and giving you a meal... You're really torn between whether to call them out on their racism or say nothing and sort of passively go along with it.
So were you Donald Trump or were you John McCain? Which one did you roll with?
We kind of generally said nothing and just sort of thought, don't make a scene here. Just let them say their piece and, you know, hope, you know, he doesn't poison us with his food. And anyway, but the thing in the back of our minds the whole time was, oh, my God. The present, we have got this guy. It's like a Maori tiki. Which we gave him. Didn't go over well.
Did you, as you handed over, say, sorry about the Maori?
Look, someone gave me this. I'm just passing it off, really. Lewis Hubble, what's making you scared this week?
Well, what's making me terrified is Vladimir Putin's birthday, which scares me every year.
Have you been invited?
Tragically, no. Although, I don't know if I'd make it out alive. I don't know if you heard how he celebrated his birthday. Kind of...
Did he fire cruise missiles from the Caspian Sea into Bashar al-Assad's enemies?
Correct.
Oh, right. His birthday candles are actually missiles. So you light them and they set off a bomb into Syria.
Yeah, he does two things. One is he plays a game of charity ice hockey. He scores 7 goals.
Topless?
Yeah, that's right. And then the other thing, is that he bombs Syria.
This is so funny. Every time I play, I win. It's birthday luck.
Yeah, I'm terrified also about what's going to happen at Christmas. Because what's he building towards?
I think it'd be hard to buy for because the thing that I really know he wants is Ukraine, and he kind of just got it for himself without waiting. So.
Very hard to gift wrap.
Yeah,
it's sort of fascinating because I don't know enough about geopolitics to really understand what's going on, but I clearly get a sense America's not happy about the Russian intervention in Syria because they seem to have completely different targets to what America seems to have. And so whether there's a different agenda about supporting Assad...
Yeah, that's kind of what's happening. That's what everyone's kind of looking at the moment. So everyone thinks that Russia is saying, no, we are fighting terrorists. But they know what the Western world thinks of terrorists are ISIS, just not the Western-funded terrorists that we pay for.
This is why diplomatic discussions are so difficult. It's because what Obama desperately would want to do is go to a press conference and be like, can we just cut the shit? We know. We get it. You're not tricking us. We also read the news and make it as much as you.
It's a tough sell to come out when you're talking bombings, though, for Obama this week, having just blown up Medicine Sans Frontières. So,
which makes him the first Nobel Peace Prize winner to bomb another Nobel Peace Prize winner.
And I use this phrase
loosely.
I still
think Malala has one in her.
First, but not the last.
I was going to say, I don't use the phrase lightly. I don't think Obama has a leg to stand on.
Right.
That made more sense when we were on the bombing thing.
Speaking of that, moving on to Oscar Pistorius. The Kunduz thing is really extraordinary. And I think what's interesting about that hospital story is just how furious Medicine Sans Frontières is, and they are channeling it through social media in such a profound way. Every post they've done, they've really pushing their argument and making and really holding account just how targeted the bombing was. And they put out a fact sheet today of just of all the bombings that happened within that hour. And they made the point of saying these were precision-guided bombs that were hitting the same building for an hour. And during that hour, we called them to say, please stop bombing the shit of our intensive care unit. And they didn't.
And they wrote back, but it's Obama's birthday.
So. And to be fair, they have a pretty easy argument to run. Because when you are, trying to, make the phrase out, we were right to bomb the hospital. It is a hard angle to run. So the US are kind of starting on the back foot.
Yeah, and they changed their story four times.
It's also one of the worst possible good causes you could actually bomb. Like, you know, like wilderness koalas, there might be some public sympathy if you accidentally bomb them. But I think Médecins Sans Frontières is one of those ones that everyone kind of gets behind and generally agrees we probably shouldn't bomb doctors trying to help people in war zones.
Maybe they were just, in the ongoing battle against ISIS, were looking for anyone who wasn't respecting a border. If you don't respect a border, you're the target of the US.
James Colley, what's the media making you scared of this week?
Well, I am mourning the loss of freedom of speech when one bookstore in one city, in one state of Australia, decided not to sell Campbell Newman's definitely bad little biography. Then freedom of speech died because...
Is that the official title? The definitely bad little biography?
It's actually The Very Hungry Capitalist. He, like, so he tried to go into... Like, he said Avid Books, by not stocking his work, was censoring him in the same way that if you go to, say, the local fruit shop, and if they don't have your favourite kind of melon, they are censoring that melon.
Or rather, if the melon is infected with disease, they choose not to sell that melon.
Like, yeah, the two things here is Campbell Newman isn't exactly the spokesperson for everyone should be allowed to say what they want as a man who worked on, say, stopping people from being able to campaign against him.
If only he could submit his book to, like, the Premier's Literacy Prize.
Yeah.
Which sadly doesn't exist, which he actually cut in Queensland.
Yeah, what happened to that thing?
I think the new Premier did actually reinstate it, and I think it would be brilliant, an ultimate act of irony, just to figure out to award Campbell Newman.
Of course, the award. I don't know if you realise this, Chris, the ultimate act of irony is that his book name is Can Do.
I saw on Twitter today, and I assume it was probably out of context in a slightly unfair photo. However, there was a photo of Campbell Newman doing a book signing at a Brisbane bookshop, and there was no one queuing up at all. There were tumbleweeds going through that bookshop.
That was actually, it wasn't a signing, he was still writing it.
There was one person, Bill Shorten, but he's kind of hard to see regardless.
Yeah. He was just up to the last chapter, which was, and he went on to win the Queensland election in the landslide that everyone expected. We're going to need to fact check this, but I'm pretty confident.
The original title was Volume 1. He just assumed there was a lot more in the Campbell Newman story, unfortunately. I think just the one volume is probably enough here, Campbell, and we won't stock it in every bookshop. It's not like it's 50 Shades of Campbell.
Who would play him in the film if it got turned into the film? Would anyone sit their hand up to play Campbell?
Oh, that's a good question.
I reckon Meryl Streep could do it.
Patrick Stewart?
Patrick Stewart.
The world's most
bad.
Famous bald man.
Steve Buscemi would be wonderful. He's really good.
I'm just trying to think. What, he's sort of a short, bald man. Like, George Brandis is the perfect man to play him, but he's probably waiting to play himself in the Brandis biopic. I think Buscemi would probably give it a crack.
I think he'd do a really good job. Chris Taylor, what is making you scared in the media this week?
Well, I got scared on behalf of Uber this week. I'm a big fan of Uber. I use it all the time. But I don't know if you saw in Brisbane, there are a couple of these vigilante cab drivers who booked an Uber, got in the car, and collectively just went to town on the poor driver and seriously did him some major damage by beating him up. And look, I mean, I've never actually taken a cab. I mean, the sort of lifestyle I have, I have a driver. So I don't know what cab drivers are like normally. My only sort of understanding of cab drivers is from Backseat Drivers, a show Lewis Hobber. and James Curley. James Curley, I think, hosted a cash cab. So I assume most people who drive cabs...
Charlie Pickering went straight from that show to hosting The Project.
There you go. They're normally TV hosts asking trivia questions. It just didn't square with the image I have of them. They're now suddenly angry about Uber and wanting to bash people up.
I bashed the shit out of some people in my show.
Did you?
I was a violent man.
Yeah. I can't imagine, like, trying to push the argument as a cabbie. Uber is unsafe, and to prove that point, we are going to beat up an Uber driver as cabbies. Like, so if you're next in an Uber, be very careful, because maybe it's a cab driver and they're known to be violent.
Uber is unsafe. The cabs are actually right. The drivers are unsafe against taxi drivers. Like, we need Mark Latham out on the road to wage another war on taxi drivers just to make it safe for Uber again.
But conversely, trying to dispel the myth of the thuggish union-based cab driver, the only way to do that is to bash the shit out of other drivers.
I want to write James, because obviously there's a big campaign at the moment by the taxi industry to discredit Uber.
But this couldn't... It's the worst possible way to advocate on behalf of taxi drivers if suddenly that these vigilante guys, like extras from Goodfellas, running riot, bashing up innocent Uber drivers.
Do you think there was a moment in this where they're like, all right, so they had the plan all together, they're like, we're going to order an Uber, get in the car, and we're going to be up. And then as they pull out the app, they order the thing, they're like, wow, that arrived really fast, and it came right to where I expected. Oh, this car's quite... He's offering us water and Mentos.
I should have pointed out, after they bashed him up, they did give the guy a five-star rating.
I'm looking forward to the time that, like, I get an Airbnb and go in and there are five guys who own hotels waiting to bash me.
This week, making me scared. I don't know if you saw this great story at News Corp. Boss Rupert Murdoch came out today and basically said
he came out.
Well,
wow,
he's very challenging stuff for all News Corp readers. But he on Twitter today he said that he suggested that U.S. President Barack Obama was not a real black president, and that Ben Carson would be the first black president of America. Basically saying that Obama had a white upbringing, therefore that makes him.
So he's questioning his blackness, not his presidency.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's right.
That's the part of him he doesn't believe in.
No,
his colour.
Yeah, his colour. His colour, which is clearly the most obvious one that we can actually see.
If there's one thing you can say about Obama, he definitely hasn't experienced racism in the last decade. Not a hint of it.
Yeah, wow.
And this comes from a guy, I don't know if you've seen this tweet. This is an awesome tweet from Rupert Murdoch from November last year. He tweeted, Moses film attacked on Twitter for all white cast. Since when are Egyptians not white? All I know are...
Oh,
fantastic stuff.
I have watched The Mummy. I have watched The Mummy Returns.
I think we just have to let Jay-Z decide which one's what.
Real recognize real.
Yeah. Maybe that's just because he's all friends with the people who are in the original Ten Commandments and all of those guys are white. He's like, the last Moses he knew was Charlton Heston, and he died a long time ago.
Can you imagine Rupert Murdoch's thought process here of, yeah, I'll sort it out. I'll just bung off a couple of tweets, and not only will I confirm Ben Carson's presidency, which will never happen. Like, he's wrong on the two counts he has here. One is that Ben Carson will be any kind of president, because he just won't. The other is Obama's race is wrong.
Yeah.
If you think they don't vet presidents for a lot of things, they would have checked that.
It must be a very tough time, though, for someone like Rupert. Like, if you're pro-Republican in the States right now...
Yep.
You have got... Like, that is the tweet of a panicked individual.
Yeah.
Really desperate to try to find something to put your flag in.
Well, it was sort of... When the race started, it was sort of like... I think there was just an assumption it was going to be Jeb Bush.
That
would get the candidate. It was going to be a Bush-Clinton face-off. Then Trump came along and said the most outrageous things, and the more outrageous things he said, the more popular he became. And now Trump is sort of the front-runner. And I don't know what the history is between Murdoch and Trump, but I'm guessing they probably see themselves as rivals more than bedfellows.
They dated in college.
He had a private meeting with Fox after he had a huge spat with Megyn Kelly.
Oh, okay.
So they had like a private meeting to discuss, you know, whether or not Fox is going to back him, mate.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
And so Fox have decided not to back Trump?
They've decided not. They were really attacking him heavily, and now they're not.
It's
kind of interesting where you kind of have to be super conservative on the Republican side, and I don't know whether Trump, when he kind of gets people who are conservative on his side, he just lets them talk, and kind of by being next to them is by pure associating with their points of view. So it's kind of not like he actually doesn't appear to have that super conservative edge that he really needs to win over the Republicans. But he just kind of being around other people who have those points of view, people just assume he is.
I can totally get it feels like if you're a moderate Republican voter and you've just been frustrated with your party for more than a decade now, I can totally get letting Trump just run and be like, screw it, I'm going to back him to see how long this goes. In the same way that if you were in the last week of a share house and a dog got in, you'd just be like, fuck it, what do I care? Piss on the carpet, I don't care, I don't like this place.
But it's sort of weird that, I mean, one reason I'm surprised Murdoch's not more in the Trump camp is that in a way by Trump becoming president of the United States is sort of like the ultimate end game of capitalism. It's sort of saying you can be the richest man in the country and become president. You can buy the president. See, literally. And I would, the only thing that Murdoch would not like about that is that he didn't think of it first.
It's kind of the blatant transparency that Obama wants to have. You know, yeah. Yeah. The Obama, the Democrats are always talking about transparency, but Trump's like, yeah, people pay me money and, you know, I will talk to them. I can be bought. Yeah, I've bought candidates in the past. Yeah, this is how democracy works. And the great thing about it is that they're all having this conversation about how money influences politics, but they're not having it behind the scenes. It is like front and center, and everybody now understands how the game works.
And by electing Trump, we're actually cutting out the middleman, because it used to need to rely on super PACs and the Koch brothers and all of that to give all the money to the candidates. You don't need that with Trump. Trump already has $1 billion. He can fund his own campaign.
I'm seeing Palmer for PM in Australia for sure.
So is Clive.
This whole thing is set up like a bad Michael J. Fox film. Like, you know how like about 83, you just put up film up. It's the one where he's working his way up from the mailroom and it keeps cutting to Trump being like, I run this company and I hate it and I love money and hate all the people. And he's like, but I like the people and also I'm working really hard. And he gets changed in the elevator, goes up and becomes president. So basically, I endorse Michael J. Fox.
Chris Taylor, what are you scared about next week?
Next week, well, just the news today that Brian Loughnane has retired from the directorship of the Liberal Party has got me very scared.
Oh, wow.
Now, for those that don't know, Brian Loughnane has been... He's the guy, like, whenever you see the end of the political ads, you know, written, authorised by Beatles, right? He's that guy. So partly I'm going to miss that. I'm mourning. We're no going to longer hear the words B. Loughnane spoken in a very quick voice. But more importantly, he was controversially, you might say, married to Peter Credlin, who was the chief of staff in the Abbott regime. So people are kind of saying... This is a good cleansing of the Liberal Party. Every last vestige and morsel of the Abbott era has been got rid of.
Bloodletting.
But what it does do, and this is what's got me scared, is created a vacancy for who the new president of the Liberal Party is going to be. And I know that Corey Bernardi has put his application form in. But even more worrying, if Malcolm Turnbull might want to sort of take a leaf out of the old Credlin-Loughnane husband-wife combo team and get Lucy Turnbull as director of the party, and they're going to Turnbullize the whole country once and for all.
We need to change the name of the party to the Turnbull Party.
Get loose.
Taylor, have you thought about becoming a member of the Liberal Party yourself and putting your name forward
as
the president?
No, but you put that idea in my head now, so I'll go away and have a think.
To prove it, can you just speak for us really quickly?
Give us an authorised by.
Written authorised by C. Taylor Canberra.
You've got the job. James Colley, what are you going to be scared about next week?
I'm scared of Rupert Murdoch unleashing a devastating tweet that proves Donald Trump isn't really orange.
Maybe John Boehner can give him some tips on some tanning salons. Lewis Hobber, what are you scared about next week?
I think I'm scared that Mark Latham might become a regular on The Verdict.
Ah,
sorry, yes. That show is called Cunts Will Make You Laugh Out Loud.
I'm scared The Verdict will be a regular. Yeah. Like the guest on it.
Yes, I'm scared that The Verdict is... At the time of taping, The Verdict airs tonight. Yeah. Mm. And I, 5 for 1, can't wait to finally hear what Plucker Duck has to say.
I've always been... Do you know what my problem with Q&A was? I'd watch every week and say, wow, this has way too much integrity. Let's just get rid of some of that.
Quite seriously, though, and as an ABC employee, I've got to tread carefully here, but I haven't watched Q&A for ages because it's boring.
Yeah.
And cool. So, really, if we get to... Like, The Verdict... Looking at the lineup tonight, I'm like, well, yeah, not yeah. probably not. Mm. But people are talking about it. Like,
I reckon
like Q&A is unassailable. It's the and you're like, there's a room for this.
I really hope Zaki Mallah gets a go on The Verdict. I think he should be a panelist.
What you've showed here though isn't so much that you want The Verdict, but you want what I truly want, which is just WWE with public figures.
Yes, yes. Correct. Yeah. I would like a spin-off of The Verdict, The Conviction. So, you know, there's a verdict and then there's a conviction.
The rejected appeal.
There's no appeal in this show.
I remember when
there it is.
I love how quick we've been to judge a show that hasn't been to air.
Has anyone ever done that to you?
Never. I remember a time when if Channel 9 needed a verdict on anything, they used something called The Worm.
Yes.
is Mark Latham playing The Worm? Is he the literal embodiment of a worm?
I just imagine somewhere in Willoughby there's The Worm. He's got his own cottage. He's just waiting for the next go. He's like, they've skipped over me this year.
The Worm would be so shitty it's not on the panel tonight.
Now they just send every decision to Hawkeye and you just see where Carl pitched it, where it hit Latham.
I'm curious. I'm genuinely... I'll watch it.
I reckon it will rate. It'll certainly rate the first couple of weeks. And I reckon... you know, it'll be a sort of sexed up version of Q&A. Yeah. It'll be very sort of, you know, more Channel 9 type topics like violence in sport and that kind of thing. I reckon, you know, there's probably a place for it.
I think it will certainly ruin Twitter and any kind of comment like feel opinion pieces for the next 3 days.
Here's what we learnt from the verdict. Top three reasons why the verdict is absolutely killing it. I can't wait. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm really keen to see Ronny Chang. He's on The Daily Show today.
I've been watching the first episodes of the Trevor Noah period, and I haven't seen Ronny turn up yet, so his first one's tonight.
Yeah, so go home and torrent that. Thank you very much.
I doubt it'll be as funny as Carl.
they're head to head. By the time I torrent it, the verdict will be on. I'll have to choose which one will I watch. Thanks for joining us for Irrational Fear. Leave us a message on our SoundCloud or iTunes. Give us a review. And that's a bit. Tell your friends, I guess.
Say hi to your mum for me.
Oh, he's back, baby.
What the?
Written and authorized by C. Taylor Canberra.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.